This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So there you go. With Roswell, okay, JFK we know. There's still questions that will never be resolved. And maybe we'll ask about Roswell in a moment, John. But let's look at the assassination of Robert Kennedy. Now, I remember this because I was working at a radio station in the late 60s when this happened. I was driving to work, and it was a daytime station where at dawn the station would go on the air, in the evening would go off, because after sundown, the station's signal would interfere with other stations, so it could only be a daytime station. So I was the guy, the morning man, who would turn the transmitter on, get on the air, and do it. That morning, I'm listening to a radio station from Minneapolis. I lived in Worthington, Minnesota at the time, which is the southern part of Minnesota. And I heard this story, okay, Robert Kennedy's dead. And hearing this, I called the station manager and said, look, we've got a situation here. We need to cover this. And he came in and did the news and covered that event. So we think even to this very day, we've got this lone guy, Sirhan Sirhan, who did the deed. But I'm never sure why he did it.
Yeah, that's one of that human aspect, right, is why. That's never been fully resolved. It's never really been given any good explanation. And then again, with Robert's assassination, you know, you start to look at the trajectory of bullets and where people were standing and where was George Plimpton at the time and Rosie Grier and how did this bullet angle hit him in the head? If it was down low, you know, if Sirhan was coming up from behind him and who turned Bobby around, like there's just so much happening in that brief flash of momentary horror. And again, we've moved so far away from it now. Good luck on anyone ever figuring out exactly what happened.
Now, there may have been a political thing here. He was Palestinian.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he had concerns with Kennedy's support for Israel, but to kill him?
Yeah. And, you know, then you add to that, because the universal trickster loves to throw up roadblocks and high strangeness and nonsense at us. You know, you have Sirhan sitting in court sketching pictures of pyramids and giant eyes floating over them and the eyes that watch him. And, you know, you add that into the strangeness and then you start talking about mind control and it goes really, really into madness at a certain point.
We're talking here about, of course, the Manchurian candidate scenario, where you have
Yes.
people who are subjected to mind control, something triggers them, and they do the deed, but then forget about it.
Yeah. I believe that Sirhan's defense, you know, moved for a trial claiming the bungling by police, that he was hypnotized, that he was brainwashed, that he was blackmailed. I mean, his defense threw almost everything at the table, hoping something would stick. And, you know, none of it's ever really been addressed. It's just kind of been, we caught him. There you go.
Hey, you were talking earlier in the program about whether or not we could trust the government to provide old documents without burying them. I mean, we do know that if it hadn't been for a couple of boxes that missed the ovens, we never would have known about the whole CIA's MK Ultra programs, which just so happened to have been going on around the time of the Bobby Kennedy assassinations, especially with them looking to try to develop a Manchurian candidate type of assassination using hypnosis, drugs, all kinds of wild scenarios.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things too. we go right back to it. Like, we know about MKUltra because of House hearings on MKUltra. And so again, you know, when we talk about there's going to be a hearing on UFOs, like, they have had hearings on, you know, mind control and MKUltra and the Kennedy assassination. These things happen. And, you know, Robert too, again, you have, again, whether it's just human nature to have things go haywire in a giant situation, you have incidents where, you know, there are extra photos and documents of Robert's assassination that are discovered and they're going to be taken. I think this happened in the 1970s, that are going to be taken for review. And so they're given to a CIA agent to take them to California. And of course, that CIA agent is mugged and the briefcase is stolen off of his wrist and those papers disappear forever.
Curiouser and curiouser. Well, and you know, you also look at, say, the Martin Luther King assassination with James Earl Ray, and how he managed to, you know, even though this was a guy who apparently had no income, managed to get out of the country and travel to a number of different countries. Where did that money come from that he was able to do that before he was caught?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you have MLK's family calling for a reopening of investigation into whether it was just the lone shooter, you know.
You also have to think here, there were a lot of individuals who probably would have wanted to take out Martin Luther King for various reasons, especially those who opposed the civil rights movement. So he was not the only possible candidate, and it wouldn't mean, and I'm not going to say this is true, that others might have put him up to it, and then, as you suggest, might have financed his attempts to escape.
Yes, absolutely. And what I was going to say earlier, because I was just reminded, flashing back to JFK, you know, for as terrible as this sounds, there is this narrative of built of the troubled lone gunman that became, you know, a running narrative in these assassinations. And the reality of the situation, again, talking human aspects, and as terrible a person as Lee Harvey Oswald might have been, whenever you hear things like, oh, you know, he had no friends, he was a loner, like, Lee Harvey Oswald was married with children who had friends. He played bridge. He had friends at work. He was not so much the loner that we believe him to be as he was portrayed in the Warren Commission report. I think that many, many people throughout the country to this day, if the narrative is spun correctly, I could be considered a loner. All you have to do is break into my house and, you know, I live by myself. I don't have a wife and kids, and my bookshelves are filled with conspiracy books and UFO books and Bigfoot books. You could craft a very ominous narrative about me if you wanted to.
Well, then on the other hand, the other thing I worry about with Oswald is he defects to another country, a country yes. with whom we don't really get along, the Soviet Union. And then they allow him to come back, and they're not watching him every single second of the day to see if he's going to pull something?
Yeah, that's one of the big issues, too, right? That you have someone, a former Marine, who probably worked in some types of intelligence gathering when he was in Japan, leaves the Marines, defects to the Soviet Union, marries the daughter of a Russian general, and then says, I want to come back. And the United States government says, okay, you can come back, and we'll get you a job in Texas.
Well, the other theory here is that he was taken back and given another job in intelligence, and somewhere things went awry. Of course, there's also the conspiracy theory that the Dulles brothers, who apparently hated JFK and Robert Kennedy, may have engineered this. And therefore, you take this patsy who defected to Russia, and you give him a chance, but he has to do something for you. Another conspiracy theory.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have JFK saying at a re-election speech, you know, I will splinter into 1,000 pieces and scatter the CIA to the wind. That probably didn't sit well with a lot of people in the CIA.
And especially the CIA being capable of doing things like this. I think there was a book called They All Killed Kennedy, but we'll get back to that in a moment. We've got John E. L. Tenney and Gene Steinberg, whoever the heck he is. And Tim Swartz, our guest co-host, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, John, if you listen to the show, Tim Swartz is the man of 27 and a half voices. And one day he's going to do the Paracast with all 27 and a half in a chorus, kind of like Bohemian Rhapsody and the song that 10cc did, I'm Not in Love, where they overdub 500 voices.
I'm interested in hearing the half a voice that he can do.
We can't do that on commercial radio because of the FCC. So it's not permitted for us to do that. But anyway, before we get back to They All Killed Kennedy, or maybe we should go back to that after talking about the Robert Kennedy assassination and Martin Luther King. They All Killed Kennedy being the conspiracy being the CIA. And there were rumors the CIA was involved in drug running, by the way.
Yes.
And I can tell you a quick story, but I'm going to have to keep it very general about that. The quick story is I have a relative no longer alive who was caught in some kind of alleged CIA drug deal where he got arrested and served a brief time in prison. I don't know what happened, really. He told a long, involved story. It might have made a book, if you could believe it or not. But there were theories that some CIA people were involved in drug running, just like former military would become mercenaries and do jobs for anyone. Then you have organized crime. And then you have various people who would have liked to do JFK in because of who'd take over. You add all this together, there were other potential assassins other than Oswald.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the combinatorial system of people working together to get Kennedy out of office has always fascinated me because, you know, there are so many circles that run together. I really do think, though, the thing that isn't discussed enough, and I used to talk about it at my lectures, is that the reality of the situation is, for as horrible as this sounds, is that Kennedy probably wouldn't have lived through his second presidency. He was experiencing massive pain. He was addicted to some pain medications at the time. You know, he was wearing a truss. He had trouble walking. His injuries that had occurred when he was in the military were really hindering his progress as a human being. And Johnson would have become president anyway. And I think that people don't discuss that fact.
That's really an aspect of Kennedy's life that hasn't become apparent until really recently.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't understand, you know, the reason that he looks so stiff is because, you know, he's wearing a truss because of his back and the fact that at the time no one knew. But, you know, there's this miracle drug that doesn't, you know, takes away your pain called methamphetamine. And, you know, you can get shots of that and it makes the pain go away. And so you've essentially got a president that's in constant pain and probably addicted to methamphetamine at the time that he's assassinated.
There's a fascinating book that Bill Burns wrote about the history of methamphetamine. I can't remember the title of it now.
Is it about Dr. Feelgood?
Yes. That's it. And I highly recommend anybody out there to read that book because, you know, it's the way that it's written. I mean, it's almost that this drug has almost like a sentient quality to it, the way that it has affected people throughout history. I mean, you know, prime movers and shakers. I mean, you know, as far back as, you know, Nazi Germany up until, you know, Kennedy and then past that.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, I think that all of these things, whether they are real conspiracies or not, I can't stress this enough. Conspiracy theories are really, at least in my area and my way of thinking and on my journey, they are really meant for us to have these conversations, to explore these ideas, not so much to believe them, but to lead us down new roads and help us construct new ideas together that we might have not been able to do by ourselves.
And we can also look at the fact that maybe the facts are precisely as portrayed by the authorities. So, for example, with Lee Harvey Oswald, you point out that in a couple of ways he behaved as if he was innocent of any crime, didn't want to escape, but he might have done those things to establish an alibi. We don't know anything about it because he was killed a couple of days later by Jack Ruby, who then wanted to tell us about it. But for some reason, they never gave him the opportunity. This is while he's dying of cancer.
Well, you forget that his cancer was very aggressive in that he was diagnosed with a cold about 2 weeks earlier, and then he died of cancer about 2 weeks later. So you really should watch. Don't let those colds get away from you.
What other conspiracies of note should we talk about? We talked about the moon landing. We talked about the assassinations in the 60s that for some people still remain unexplained. What other notable conspiracies would you like to talk about?
You know, it's funny because one of the things that I do at my lectures a lot of times is I talk about conspiracies that hit the radar and then for whatever reason vanish and then maybe come back later on. You know, I'm sure your listeners know that throughout the 90s, the giant conspiracy was chemtrails and planes were, you know, dropping chemicals on us and poisoning us and or doping us from the skies. And that led to tactical markers, TACMARs, on the back of road signs for when the UN forces invaded. And I think that people forget that there are all, you know, I remember going to a metaphysical convention in the 80s and hearing someone talk about the flat earth and watching flat earthers get into, you know, literal fist fights with hollow earthers. And then all of a sudden, here I was in 2010 and the flat earth theory comes back around. And I was like, oh, I can't believe this is back again.
When you go into hollow earth, and I'm kind of hesitant to go into flat earth, the hollow earth, those theories inspired fiction. I mean, the theories go back to what? The 19th century and earlier, and even Edgar Rice Burroughs in crafting his novels on Pellucidar, a civilization under the earth. He used that literature to create his scenes.
Yeah, that's one of the things with when I discuss the hollow earth and people will have those theories and say like, oh, well, you know, and the hollow earth, too, it gets tied to the conspiracy of, you know, reptilians and reptoids. And I have to point out, just as you did, Gene, that, you know, whether it's Burroughs or Robert E. Howard talking about underground cities filled with green reptilian skilled elite families, like this is a basis that, you know, started in the 19th century and really hit peak in with the pulps in the 1910s and 20s. And, you know, obviously in the 40s and 50s, you get Palmer and Shaver jump on it and it just goes wild.
And as many people know, I knew Shaver and I knew Palmer slightly. So that was interesting. I used to have a file cabinet with hundreds of letters from Richard Shaver and material from his alleged rock books. Unfortunately, the former business partner where I left the file cabinet that contained this stuff, he closed the business and discarded all this great material. Kind of sad that we don't have it anymore. But Shaver, to me, was a very difficult situation because I knew the guy and he seemed perfectly sincere. Aside from his stuff about the caves and the rock books, he was as reasonable as anyone. I'm going to ask you about what you think of Shaver. John, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The accused shooter in a mass shooting at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, is in custody. Authorities say the 18-year-old white man drove hours through the predominantly black neighborhood north of downtown Buffalo, killing 10 people and wounding 3 in what authorities called a hate crime and racially motivated violent extremism. Among the dead, the store's security guard, whom Police Commissioner Joe Grimalia identified as a retired officer. He also called him a hero who interacted with the suspect.
Engaged the suspect, fired multiple shots, struck the suspect, but because he had heavily armed, armored plating on, that bullet had no round.
11 of the 13 shooting victims are black. The man allegedly live-streamed his attack on the store. Local, state, and national authorities are involved in the investigation. They say that evidence indicating racial animosity has been acquired. This is USA Radio News. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and a delegation of GOP senators are the latest American officials to pay a visit to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The visit comes as Ukrainian officials are negotiating with Russia to evacuate 60 medics and seriously wounded people from the besieged steel plant in Mariupol, the last sliver of resistance in the southern port city. According to a senior U.S. defense official, Ukrainian forces have gained ground in Kharkiv, pushing Russian troops north of the border. South Africa is experiencing a new surge of COVID cases driven by two subvariants of Omicron. They look like the original Omicron strain that was first identified late last year. The country has seen an increase in cases and a somewhat higher number of hospitalizations, but no increases in severe cases and death. A health expert says they don't want to call it a wave because it's early in the increase period. They add the actual number of new cases is probably much higher because the symptoms are mild and many who get sick are not getting tested. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Richard Sharp Shaver died in the 70s, not long after I interviewed him for a magazine. What's your take on Shaver and Palmer?
Well, I think that they were good storytellers, which I think is what any high strangeness phenomenon needs. And, you know, over the years, I've come to an idea that high strangeness and the phenomena, whatever you want to call it, has many different ways of revealing itself to people. And I think that imaginative and speculative fiction plays a big part in that. I think that there, when people allow their imaginations to delve into realms of weirdness, that you can come up with archetypes and things that seem to be answers to, you know, great mysteries. And whether or not they are actual answers or just points to begin constructing new ideas, I think Palmer and Shaver did an immense amount of work, not only bringing to the forefront strange ideas, but getting people talking about the weirdness that people internally think about but might not vocalize.
Well, the one thing, of course, is that Shaver picked up on legends of ancient civilizations. I remember Lemuria, which was basically a Shaver-Palmer thing where Shaver wrote the basic story and Palmer rewrote it in more of a acceptable pulp fiction language befitting the 30s and 40s.
I have the amazing story sitting on the wall across from me right now, that issue.
Yes, indeed. And what got people crazy was that Palmer could do things. I would say and I like the guy. I met him once and talked to him on the phone a couple of times. He could take a story and pretend it was something factual and really get his loyal readers to follow him to the ends of the earth on the Hollow Earth theory, on Shaver, even UFOs coming from possibly the Hollow Earth.
Yeah, I mean, you look at something like what Palmer did kind of with OSPA, right? The Bible, the ancient Bible that he reprinted many times. But Palmer had this also, what I think is slightly brilliant narrative, where he would create characters to argue with himself. And that got people fired up. You know, he would write these letters to himself in a different voice and then react to the outrage. And I think that's kind of brilliant. I think that's a really great way of challenging yourself about your ideas.
I knew a former sci-fi writer named Otto Binder back in the 60s and 70s. We remember him because he wrote the continuity for the original Shazam character in the comic books when it was known as Captain Marvel, as opposed to the female Captain Marvel we have now. He created for DC Comics Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes. And he wrote about UFOs, Otto. And he said that Palmer would create these stories just to get reader reaction, to keep the magazines going.
Yeah, and like I said, I think what happens when you do something like that, for as terrible as it might end up being because you're making up stories, is that people respond honestly with stories that aren't made up. They start talking about their own personal experiences, and again, you find that what you thought was weird was weirder than you think. You know, you make up a story about some insane extraterrestrial visitation, and then all of a sudden, you know, 200 or 300 people write in with similar accounts. Again, I think that's a way that the universe kind of pushes its narrative using our imagination and creativity to get us to a place where we're like, oh, maybe this stuff is happening. How can I make something up? And then it's actually happening.
It reminds me of a very strange situation. And this goes back to, I guess, the late 60s. And I was working for a guy named Jim Mosley, James W. Mosley, Saucer News, later Saucer Smear. He became, shall we say, the court jester of the UFO field. But he had done serious work, like an expose of contactee George Adamski, but also played crazy hoaxes with the help of his friend Gray Barker. So Jim decided one day, I'm going to create a hoax about UFO sighting. I just sat back and listened to this. I was enjoying being entertained by all this. He calls this small town police department in New Jersey, talks about a UFO, and then we read about the Wanacue Reservoir sightings. It was as if Jim predicted the sightings by calling in a fake report.
Yeah, that's one of those. I met Jim a couple times before he passed, but, you know, I think that he would even say, you know, that's in more kind of Mosley speak, with through a little bit of alcohol, perhaps, that is a key to some of the phenomena.
You look at some of these internet memes that started out. I'm thinking of the tall man.
Slenderman
stories that, you know, I mean, they start out as fictional stories, and then, you know, like these earlier Richard Shaver stories, then you start seeing people writing in talking about their own experiences. You know, it's almost like, you know, you said, John, the universe is listening and like, okay, let's make this happen. Black Eyed Kids as well. You know, I think that's something that, you know, started out as fictional stories that, you know, now people are seeing them all over the place.
Well, and then you get in, that brings you into the realm of, you know, thought forms and aggregors and, you know, what some people call tulpas, which, you know, is, can the collective imagination of humanity, can we manifest these things into reality? Can so many people thinking about something at one time actually push it into reality? As when I do paranormal lectures and talk about haunted places, one of the things that I mention is that if you have an abandoned house in a neighborhood and enough little kids stare at it for long enough and are scared of it for long enough, after a couple decades, that house becomes allegedly haunted. And if you investigate it, it seems to be haunted. And yet, even if nothing ever happened there, it seems to be the collective will of the children and the people in the neighborhood have haunted the house.
The word is collective. The second word is unconscious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where enough people can will something into existence, but then we can talk about theoretical concepts of the power of the mind, that if you put enough minds together, they can create a reality that is independent of them.
Absolutely, which is, I think, what we're all kind of seeing right now with the ability to exchange information so quickly on the internet and build things like memes and ideas. And, you know, all of a sudden you do have a million eyes looking at something at one time. And what effect does that have on our perceptual reality and our individualized reality? And does it shape and craft a new narrative to how we're experiencing the world and all of the weird phenomena in it?
So how do you separate real from fanciful?
At this point in my journey, I really believe that what is happening to people is individualized and perceptible to them, probably not studyable in a scientific way. But for me to be able to tell someone what is happening in their reality, again, definitively, I think that that would lead me down the wrong path. I think that people have experiences, whether or not they know how to explain those experiences or they understand what those experiences might be. I can only offer suggestions, but I can't tell them that their reality is not real.
What do you think? Do you think this reality is real or just people are getting involved in a story and they can't let go?
I think that I am biologically incapable of understanding all of the facets of the universe, and that my little limited 3.5-pound lump of goo that sits in the top of my head and tells me it's my brain and I'm me, doesn't do a very good job of just biologically limited to the spectrum of sounds and light and color that I can see. So I think there is probably much, much more going on, that we are calling elves, fairies, Bigfoot, Loch Ness monsters, flying saucers, angels, God, time travel. I think all of that and more is probably happening.
Here's what's happening, and you'll find out in a moment with John and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
In that previous segment, the stinger from Tim Swartz, he has aged 400 years.
It's my own reality.
It reminds me of an episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, my goodness. I was about to say the same thing.
The episode where Captain Picard is out for 25 minutes. During that time, he lives an entire lifetime in like this other reality. It was one of the most acclaimed episodes of that series. And I recently got to see it again. And today, watching this thing, 30 years after it was broadcast, still a great episode.
It's a beautiful story.
It's a great story. It's so funny because I was about to say not that episode of Next Generation, but every time they show Data's father, played by Brett Spiner, he always does an old man voice. Oh, Data, you know what's... And it's always cracked me up that when people do an old person's voice, they do it as kind of crusty and shaky. And yet, I very often talk to 70, 80, and 90-year-olds who sound like I do right now.
I raise my hand. People know I'm in my 70s, okay? I was thinking here of another episode, and this was, I think, in the early part of the sixth season, where James Doohan, Scotty, comes
relics.
Back, where he's stuck in the containment field of a transporter for 75 years. But go back to this. In the early 70s, they had all these Star Trek conventions, and he appears at one of them, and this is a guy at that point probably in his 50s. And I said to him, hey, would you imitate, because he was a voice character actor, Scotty, as he would be in his 70s. So he did the shaky voice. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think he realized that in his 70s, he'd still be playing Scotty. And no, he didn't do the shaky voice.
Relics, that episode of TNG is called Relics, and it's one of the best episodes of TNG. It really
is.
That's
the one. That's the one. And it's really, really terrific how they bring it in. They kept trying to find ways to bring in old Star Trek characters. So you had one episode, the first one, featuring Dr. McCoy. Then you had Spock for two episodes, ending a season and beginning another one, where he's trying to find peace with the Romulans, who are related to the Vulcans, if you can go with that. Leonard Nimoy, of course, and then James Doohan. But when it came to William Shatner, they wouldn't touch that.
Now, see, this brings up, since we're talking about Star Trek and we've been talking about conspiracy theories, if you have enough cursory information and you put it together in a way that sounds palatable, and I do this at my lectures sometimes, so you can make a conspiracy theory, right? And what I do at my lectures using Star Trek is I tell people that the Catholic Church, when they were doing the witch trials, the last time that the Catholic Church burned witches was in South America in the year 1701, and it was called in South America El Interpricio, right? Which is the Enterprise 1701. The captain of the Enterprise is Kirk, which is a European name for a church. The nurse is Chapel. The science officer, who doesn't believe in God, gives a Hebrew hand signal, has pointed eyebrows, and looks like the devil. And the doctor on the ship, who believes in God and the human spirit, is the real McCoy. Now, that is all fake. I mean, it's all just information. Some of it is true and some of it is not. But if I present it the way that I just presented it, it sounds like there's some type of conspiracy going on with Star Trek.
It makes about as much sense as some of the conspiracy theories that, you know, you read now on Facebook or see on YouTube.
Yeah, right. Birds aren't real or...
Yeah. Yeah, that one I never quite understood. though I guess that it just came out that it was intended as satire, and yes, then it just took off.
Yes, for sure. But in the beginning, people didn't know. I mean, it's one of those things. Is this going to be a real thing? Are we all going to jump on this bandwagon? Is this making any sense? And, you know, you have enough information. You can go back and look at the DARPA website for the Defense Military Applications projects in the 1990s, and they were creating drones that were the size of birds and mosquitoes. So you can start to wrap that stuff up into something that sounds palatable.
Now, over the years, I wrote quite a bit about conspiracies, always found them fascinating, but really anymore, I have found myself distancing myself from them, and I know that things like this are cyclical, but they've become so hateful and political and sometimes dangerous.
I lecture and have written many articles about through my mentors, when I was first exposed to conspiracy theories, one of the things that I was really pressed into my character and my being and my research was, if someone is still in mourning, if tears are still falling, then hold off on your speculation for a while. Remember that there are human beings involved in this thing that you are going to stir the pot. And we are now through the pale on that. As soon as anything happens, you know, whether it's national or just local or worldwide, that has some kind of ramification and effect, everybody is very willing to jump on board and try and get the clicks due to tragedy. And that's just not something that I personally can do.
I like that. I'm happy to to see that you retain that philosophy when so many people just, I mean, they use it for their own personal agendas, whatever that may be.
Yeah, yeah. It's really disheartening, too, because, you know, there is a lot of wasted human potential energy that could go toward good in moments and times of crisis that is being wasted on, I have to be the first one to get the click on this so that, you know, my Instagram can blow up.
We were talking about earlier about how our beliefs or whatever can actually, you know, possibly have have the ability to, you know, construct the universe or reality around us. You have this excellent story about something that happened to you when you were in Decatur, Illinois, that I'd love for you to tell our audience.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where I still end up doubting my own personal sanity. I went to a paranormal convention in Decatur, Illinois. It was called the Dead of Winter. It was taking place in the winter. And while I was there, I got into a car accident. I wasn't hurt, but my truck was pretty much demolished. So I was stuck there, and the day after the conference ended, I was one person in a 200-room hotel. Everybody else had checked out, and there was a snowstorm going on. It was very Shining-esque. I'm being trapped in this hotel by myself, me and the concierge and one maid. And I asked the desk clerk where I could eat, and he told me directions that I could walk to a diner. And so I went out and trudged through this snowstorm and eventually found a diner and had dinner, walked back to the hotel, spent the next day in the hotel. The following day, trudged back out through this snowstorm, went to the diner again, ate. The next day my car was fixed, so I got in my car. I was going to eat at the diner one last time since I'd already been there twice. And I drove around for about 45 minutes and couldn't find it, realizing that I'd only ever walked there. So I went back to the hotel and said, how do I get there driving? And they told me, and I drove in that direction. And it was the opposite direction from how I had originally walked. And it led me to a diner that I had never seen before. So I tried to follow my footpath in my car, and it led me just to a national forest. And there has never been a diner where I ate. And I have no idea who made those pancakes and scrambled eggs and who I gave my money to, because there was no diner there. And I ate it up twice.
That's a Twilight Zone kind of story.
It is.
Yeah. It's one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened to me. I have gone back. I have used Google Earth. I've had people who live in Decatur all try to track down this diner. And, I mean, it was never there historically. There's nothing ever been in that area that would presuppose a diner had ever been there. And yet somehow I ate at this place twice.
By the way, he's going to be back with After the Paracast for more discussion, because we haven't even scratched the surface of his book or anything else. You go to a diner, you have a couple of meals, and it's no longer there. Ah, we have Tim and John and Gene, you're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.